So, I wanted to share with you, God wants us to know His Word and He wants us to walk in His ways. And if you would go to Psalm 119. Psalm 119, verse 33. Teach me, O Lord, the ways of thy statutes, and I shall keep it unto the end. This is, the Psalm 119 is, if you maybe in your Bible, it's got the Hebrew letter above this verse, and it's called HE in the English, hey. And each one of these from 33 to 40 is that letter of the Hebrew alphabet. Each one of these starts with, as it would be an hour, it starts with alpha, beta, gamma, and it goes all the way through the Hebrew alphabet. So when the psalmist wrote this, he wrote it with that first letter of the alphabet, second letter of the alphabet, third letter, all the way through the Hebrew. It's quite a remarkable thing. And every single verse in the 119th psalm is talking about God's word, His statutes, His judgments, His commandments. Every single verse is talking about the Word of God. He has given us this Word so that we could know Him, and also so that we could be instructed in how to live and how to do this. We ask God in 33 here, teach me, O Lord. Teach me, O Lord, the ways of thy statutes, your Word, and I shall keep it unto the end. Give me understanding, and I shall keep thy law. Yea, I will observe it with my whole heart. Make me to go in the paths of thy commandments. For therein do I delight. Incline my heart unto thy testimonies and not to covetousness, which is probably one of the sins of life that most people get involved with. I want this, I want that, more of everything. Just seek God's word, you'll have everything that you need, that's for sure. And go to Psalm 1, the first Psalm. It's one of my favorite Psalms. Says, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. He walks not, he doesn't stand and he doesn't sit with the evil ones. That's kind of cool. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. He thinks about God's word. He puts it on in his head. Thinks about the truth that's in God's word. That individual is going to be very blessed. Keeps himself from evil. And evil is all around us. It's unbelievable. And you delight in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. Not just one river, but many rivers. Rivers of water. That brings forth his fruit in his season, and his leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doth shall prosper. That is something that God has promised time and time again. He makes this truth known to his people. You do his will, he will prosper. Now, it won't always be in the pink Cadillac category, or something else that you want. But your life will be fruitful and prosperous, and you will stand out in the crowd and be a witness. Me and Abraham, think about the great guys, right? Joshua, you know, he tells Joshua, you walk with me, don't turn to the left or to the right, you keep my word, be of good courage, and you'll prosper. And he makes this statement several times throughout Scripture. And again, it's not just dollars and cents, it's everything. You know, Joshua just got blessed with the job being a teacher, right? After, you know, what a wonderful blessing. I mean, school's going to start. I mean, this is kind of like the last minute, you know what I mean? You know, but the Lord provided. But the individual, you know, I mean, there's no reason not to expect that someone who loves God and wants to do his word is not going to have their prayers answered, is not going to have their life blessed, that he is going to direct you and he is going to keep your life, your heart. He's going to do it. Why not expect it? He says he wants to, he will. You know what I mean? It's you and I, we choose whether we believe this stuff or not. You know, and if you believe it, you anticipate it. The ungodly are not so, but they're like the chaff which the wind driveth away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the day of judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knows the ways of the righteous, but the ways of the ungodly shall perish. And we're talking about eternally. Now, he's not just talking about right here and now, because we're going to go to another Psalm in 37. And it tells you how the ungodly are doing really good. But when push comes to shove, the ungodly, the sinners, the ones who cheat and lie and do all what they do, they're not going to have eternity. Their choice. In this record, it says, fret not thyself. You know what fret means? Don't sweat it. Fret not thyself because of the evildoer, neither be envious against the workers of iniquity, for they shall soon be cut down like the grass and wither as the green herb. See, they do really well now. A lot of them do real well now. Not all of them, but a lot. And it seems like the righteous people don't do as well. But the day will come. You know, this thing comes to an end. Trust in the Lord. Trust in the Lord and do good, and so shall thou dwell in the land. And verily thou shalt be fed. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thy heart. Commit thy ways unto the Lord, trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. And he shall bring forth thy righteousness as the light, and thy judgment as the noonday. Rest in the Lord. Remember Psalm 1, don't go or stand or sit in the ways of the unrighteous. Well, these verses are pretty much the other side of that. Rest in the Lord. You know, when you sit, rest in the Lord and be patient for him. Fret not thyself because of him who prospers in his way. Because the man who bringeth evil devices to pass, cease from anger, forsake wrath, fret not thyself in any wise to do evil. For evildoers shall be cut off, but those that wait upon the Lord, they shall inherit the earth. Remember when Jesus Christ said in the Sermon on the Mount, you know, they're going to inherit the earth. The meek will inherit the earth. The peacemakers, the humble. Well, that wasn't a new teaching. I mean, it says these things here in the Old Testament. Jesus Christ is just encouraging, believe it. Wasn't the first time it was ever said. And we're talking about inheriting the kingdom. You're going to dwell in the land. You're going to inherit the earth. We're talking about eternity. When do the evildoers get cut off? At the end. Bing. Done. Verse 10, yet a little while, and the wicked shall not be. Yea, thou shalt diligently consider his place, and it shall not be. But the meek shall inherit the earth, and shall delight thyself in the abundance of peace. And the wicked, they plotteth against the just, and they gnasheth upon him, they jump upon him with his teeth. And the Lord shall laugh at him, for he seeth his day is coming. And the wicked have drawn out the sword, and have bent their bow to cast down the poor and the needy, and to slay such as of upright conversation, life. Upright life. Their sword shall enter into their own heart, and their bowels shall be broken. You see this a lot. I mean, the devil is the accuser, right? And usually people that accuse other people of stuff are guilty of the thing themselves. And it always comes back to them sooner or later. You know, you point the finger. I remember a doctor used to say to me, you point your finger at someone, you're pointing three back at yourself. You know, and it's really the truth. Mind your own business. Take care of your own affairs. Take care of the beam that's in your own eye. Don't worry about the other guy. Take care of yourself, your own integrity, your own heart. Seek the word. Do the things of God. Don't worry about the evildoers. Don't worry about other people that you think. Because to tell you the truth, you can't figure out who's who. There's a lot of good rich people and there's a lot of bad rich people. There's a lot of good poor people and there's a lot of bad poor people. You can't figure out from their status or anything else what's in the life and heart of an individual just by what they do. And when you see the evil, don't fret it. Don't worry about it. God's going to take care. It's all going to come out in the wash. Now, when you throw the dirt in the laundry, it all comes out in the wash. The Lord's going to laugh at these folks. And the wicked, verse 14, and the wicked shall draw out the sword and have bent their bow to cast down the poor and the needy and to slay such that are of an upright life. Their sword shall enter into their own heart and their bows shall be broken. A little that a righteous man hath is better than the riches of many wicked. For the arm of the wicked shall be broken, and the Lord upholdeth the righteous. The Lord knows the days of the upright, and their inheritance shall be forever. What you and I are going to receive is forever and ever and ever. If in this life is all there is to it, it's really pretty short. You keep your eyes on the Lord. You keep your eyes on the promises. You keep your eyes on his love. You walk in his ways. I'm telling you, it's the best way to live no matter what. You know, the abundance. I've just had a great week. You know, just a great week with my granddaughter, my family. Just had a great time. You know, the whole world is going to hell in a handbasket, it seems. I'm having a great time. You know, I know that in my darkest day, in my darkest hour, I can cry to the Lord and He will help and comfort. I've watched it time and time and time again. I have no doubt that He will be there. And whatever is right according to His will, He will do. And He will help. He will never leave us. He will never forsake us. These are truths that are written. They are ours. Nothing can take that away. We just have to encourage ourselves in these truths. Encourage our own heart. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. First Corinthians chapter 2, verse 12. It says, "But we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God." You've got this spirit so that you, those of us who have believed, you got the spirit so you could know, absolutely know, the things that are freely given to us of God. He wants you to know. And he says this a lot in the book of 1 Corinthians, by the way. You know, he says it a lot throughout Scripture. I would not have you to be ignorant concerning them which are asleep. I would not have you ignorant, brethren, concerning those that were under the cloud, you know, during the 40 years. Look at 1 Corinthians 6, 2. If he doesn't want you ignorant of things, then guess what? The knowledge is available to you to learn. And if you want to stay stupid, you can. Right? But you have to choose to look. You have to choose to read. You have to choose to seek. Wasn't that the first verses, you know, we looked at? You know, help me, God. Teach me your ways. Help me. Show me. These are prayers that you pray, and then you pick up the book and read. Verse 2, it says, "Do you not know that the saints shall judge the world? And if the world shall be judged by you, are you unworthy to judge the smallest matters?" Did you know that the saints are going to judge the world? Verse 3, "Know you not that you shall judge angels? How much more shall this pertain to this life?" To what goes on now. I mean, you're going to judge the world, you're going to judge angels, and yet most people have no clue. Now, go to verse 9, I think. "Know you not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God?" You know, those people who are evil and not doing the word, they're not going to inherit the kingdom. You know that, right? Well, a lot of people don't. My granddaughter was playing in the park with Mary and another lady and another young girl. And the woman, she's a school teacher, I think sixth grade or something like that. And a really nice person. And you know what the questions when Mary was starting to talk to her about the word? The questions were the same that Mary gets in children's fellowship from the children. Because that's about what people, they don't know. You know, why does bad things happen to one person and not another? That's what the kids ask. They don't know nothing about God. They don't know his word yet. People who don't know anything start with incredibly simple questions. And everybody's got them. But she's 38 and never picked up the Bible and looked. If you don't look, you don't find. If you don't ask, you don't get. You know, I mean, you want something off of me? Ask. I refuse you nothing that I could possibly do to benefit you. But you got to ask. You got to open your mouth and ask. Right? Got a question? Ask. You got a need? Make it known. Whatever it is, don't just, you know, whether it's in God's word or whatever, don't just sit around and, well, maybe one day McCabe will teach it in fellowship. Maybe not. Maybe not. Don't you know? Paul is talking to the Corinthian church. He said, don't you know this? Don't you know that? Don't you know? Don't you understand? You should. That's his point. You should know. But many people are ignorant. They don't search the scriptures. They don't read them. They don't look at them. And it's a when I got time kind of moment. You know? And if you did that with me, you know, you want to hang out with me? Hey, Kenny, you want to hang out together? Hey, when I got time. You know how much I want to hang out with you now?
When I got time.
Yeah. The attitude is everything. It determines your spirituality. If your attitude towards God is, whenever. Well, how much would you want to hang out with a person or instruct or teach or spend a good deal of help time with an individual? Whenever. I don't know about you, but not me. Not me. I mean, if you're bleeding and dying, okay, I'll call 911 and put a bandage on you. But I ain't going to lose no sleep over it one way or the other. There's no love there. There's no fellowship there. There's no desire to be in someone else, you know, fellowship with me. You know, I'll do what I can do. But I'm going to go hang out with people that I love and that love me. Someone who cares. Now, we are supposed to love the world, right? I got to care so that they can hear this word. But if they reject it, I move on to the next one. I'm not sitting there begging them. Jesus didn't beg them. He told his guys about the Pharisees, leave them alone. They don't want this. Just let them alone. They're hard-hearted. There's other people to talk to. But we put our hearts into each other. We care. We pray for each other. We love each other. You know, and it's reciprocal. Some days more, some days less. But it's reciprocal. Do you see what I mean? So, verse 15 says, know you not that your bodies are members of Christ? Don't you understand these? And then there's a context to this. I mean, he's reproving them because they don't know and they're not acting correctly. Verse 16. What, know you not that he which is joined to a harlot is one body? For two, saith he, shall be one flesh. You know, you go ahead and join yourself to a harlot, you're one with it. Guess what? You're right in it. Now, verse 19. What, know you not that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit, which is in you, which you have of God, and you are not your own? You know, you've been bought with a price. You are not your own. Do you not know? He's talking to the Corinthian church. You know, these are things you have to understand, pursue. You want to know what the Word says. You want to know that God loves you. You want to know that when you sin and you confess your sin, that He is faithful and just to forgive you your sins and to cleanse you from all unrighteousness. You want to be absolutely assured in your own heart of these great truths. And not just, I wonder, maybe. Go to Ecclesiastes chapter 12. Right after Proverbs, chapter 12. I went through the book of Ecclesiastes. It's one of Mary's favorite books, but I went through it. It's, I don't know how it's one of her favorite books, to tell you the truth. But it's a great book. I mean, it's got tremendous wisdom in it. But it's really a reality check. Okay? And think about it. Solomon, who asked God for wisdom and knowledge, he writes the book of Proverbs, which basically is the wisdom. And then he writes Ecclesiastes, all right? And what this book does is it shows us how life and everything in it works back and forth, what's important and what's not, how things just measure up and work. Tremendous wisdom in both those books. But now Solomon writes this book, Ecclesiastes, I believe, at the end of his life. Right? Solomon was doing real good with God at the beginning. And then he fell off the cliff because he had 1,000 women and they led his heart to worship other gods. And he went from being, and it was so bad, God split the kingdom from him to 2 tribes and 10. And I believe he came back, if this is at the end of his life. If it's not, then guess what? All bets are off with that one. Only God can judge what he's doing with Solomon. I don't know. But this much I do know. He lived long enough to write this book of Ecclesiastes to get involved in doing all manner of work, understanding all manner of how people deal with one another, understanding several different, he understood how water works, and irrigation. He understood how commerce and business work. And you don't put everything in one ship. You got a cargo of gold, you send it out in 6 different ships. You don't send it in one ship. The ship dies, you go down, you're done. It's called diversification. I mean, things like that, right? That takes a little bit of time in life to observe these things. So like I said, I think it's someplace in Solomon's life. He gets done. He looks at everything that there is to look at, and he comes to the conclusion of the whole matter of life. And it's in verse 13. Let us hear the conclusion of the matter. Fear God. Keep his commandments. For this is the whole duty of man. You want to know the greatest wisdom of all when it comes to after he's learned everything and done everything and become an expert of everything? Fear God and keep his commandments, because this is it. For God shall bring every work into judgment and every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. Just like he said in the Psalms, and just like he said in the other Psalms that we read. God's going to figure it out. Those who are doing his word and seeking his will, they're going to have eternity. And those who are not, they're going to be cut off. Dust. One's got forever blessings, the other's got none. And then go to, if you go to 1 John chapter 2. Yeah, I don't think there's anything new here in what I'm sharing this morning. 1 John chapter 2. In verse 4. There are two really big kinds of people in among the people of the earth. You have those who believe and those who don't, right? When it comes to God. There are people who think they got it together, but they still don't know God. You have those who can, the heathen know that they don't know and they don't want to know. You know, they have no regard. But then you have religious people, right? And they're just as bad as the heathen, but they just don't know it because they think, well, you know, I'm such a nice guy. My works, the money I've given away, all the rest of this stuff. You know, the philanthropists. I'm not saying all philanthropists don't believe. I'm just saying that there are people who think, well, because I have never done anything really, really bad, or because I've done so much good, I'm sure God will take care of me at the end. It ain't going to work that way. It doesn't work that way. Moralists, you know, the people who do good, righteous things, who don't know God and don't know his word, don't understand that the only way that an individual can be saved is to have faith in the Messiah who came to die for them and cleanse their sins. And we're not just talking about their personal sins. We're talking about the sin of the original man, Adam, who cursed every one of us and sold us to the devil. We were all children of the wrath, it says in Ephesians. We were dead in trespasses and sins. Dead people that do nice things are just dead people who do nice things. People who don't accept the Lord Jesus Christ, even though they'd be very nice people. It's not a man's work that earns him eternity. It is believing on the Messiah who God sent and the work that he did that gives us eternal life. That's why we confess Jesus Christ as Lord. We believe God raised him from the dead. We believe that he accomplished the work on the cross. That's the work of salvation, if you want to call it a work. That's what you have to believe. Being a good guy don't earn you nothing. I think even in the world, good guys finish last. That was one of the expressions. And believers are the ones who believe the truth that God has said, and God, by his grace, saves. It's a gift of grace. It's not something that you've earned. So just because somebody believes that doesn't make it so. It doesn't make it so. It says in the book of Job, it says that your righteousness does not move him, nor your sin. You don't change God's mind because of what you do, any more than the ant that's crawling under the house. Do you even consider it? You don't see it. You know, if I was sitting in a plane at 35,000 feet flying over this house, I wouldn't be able to see the house, let alone the people. What God says in his word is that it's by faith. Abraham had faith, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. David was he had faith. You know, I mean, it's always been about faith. And just because somebody believes something that makes a little bit of sense to them doesn't make it so. The guy next to Jesus Christ who lived a life of that deserved the death penalty on the cross said, "Lord, remember me when thou come into thy kingdom." And Jesus said, "Oh, hey, you're going to be with me in paradise. It's my biggest example I keep in my head." He believed that he had a kingdom coming. He believed that he was the Messiah when he read over his head, "Jesus, King of the Jews." Simple belief. And this guy's promised. Because at the last part of his life, he came to know. Don't you know? The only way a person gets to know is to pick it up and read it and study it and look upon it. Now, does that mean that I go out and live like hell? No. Wrong lesson. This book isn't to give you a license to do what the heck you want. You still live to honor him, but your best efforts to honor him and to walk in his ways, you're going to need forgiveness because you can't do it that well. It says here, and this is the last place I'll go, in chapter 2, verse 4, "He that saith, I know him, and keeps not his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whosoever keeps his word, in him verily is the love of God perfected. Hereby know we that we know that we are in him. He that said that he abideth in him ought himself also so to walk even as he," the Lord Jesus Christ, "walked." That's why I said it's not a license. But you know, it starts this little thing. In chapter 2, verse 1, "My little children, these things I write unto you, that you sin not. And then if any man sins," and guess what? We all do. "On my best day, I'm still sinning. If any man sins, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. And he is the payment for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. If I ask, he's faithful and just to forgive me these sins." Chapter 1, verse 9. So, when somebody says to me, "Well, I'm part of I'm a holy person," that's with a footnote. There's a little caveat here, since none of us are perfect. Do you follow me? But that doesn't mean we don't intend to try and earnestly walk in the steps of our Lord. And we fall and fail, we ask for forgiveness, and we get up and try again. So that's what I wanted to share with you tomorrow. You know, God wants you to know, and he wants you to walk. So, Father, thank you for your love and goodness. Thank you for your great grace and mercy. I ask you, Father, for your blessing upon your people and for your help in their lives. Thank you for giving us this word so that we can know. And thank you, Father, for your help, that we can walk it with your help, with your grace. I ask you to bless those that give and abundantly share, Father, for the outreach of your word. I ask you for your blessing on those that are hurting, my Lord, and need your help. I ask you that you give us the opportunity to love other people, Father, and hold forth and just bring them to know you. And I pray this in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.